We thank you for this opportunity to be together in your name, to feast upon your word, to share together in that which you have for us. Lord, our hearts are that we are always honoring unto you and willing to, in these lives that we live, to always be a blessing and to praise you and to be that witness to others of your goodness and your salvation. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Good morning, one and all. Glad to have you with us. Okay. Please stand as we recite the Shema together. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Please be seated. 2 Samuel 12:13. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. We, as the redeemed of the Lord, are dealing with the matter of facing our transgressions before Jehovah, acknowledging the fact that we are sinful beings. We are saved by God's grace alone. Still, we are in a battle against the conflicting residue of that old nature. There is a cleansing process that of God that needs to take full root in the measure of a deep cleanup of our hearts and minds and souls. We dare never try to hide any of our so-called indiscretions before God. There is nothing that is concealed from his piercing and penetrating vision of who we are and what we do and think and say. Accordingly, we need to learn to appreciate and honor and praise our Lord God Almighty for the manner in which he is so long-suffering and forgiving in his dealings with us. This is so opposite to what this age puts forth in its lies and its accusations against the most holy and loving one. This world portrays God as a divine tyrant who imposes his will indiscriminately on those who are foolish enough to think that he is doing us good. There is that deception which proclaims that those who belong to God are no longer enjoying life, that they are no longer able to choose to do anything they want to do. According to this age, those who are so foolish as to believe in a divine being are trapped in the dogma of religiosity that takes away the freedom to choose what they want to do when they want to do it. This entire presentation of God as a tyrannical being who only swings arrows of condemnation and judgment from heaven is such a denigrating lie. It is the vicious scheme of the enemy to slander and malign the one who created all things. The reality is that we are the ones who have chosen slavery to sin and death over the living relationship that has always been the plan and the purpose of God in his creation of humanity. Jehovah is the true source of all peace and joy and contentment and fulfillment as we but respond to his so great love and mercy and grace. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 44, 21 through 23, picks up for us with the truth of who Jehovah is and all that he does in terms of his love, kindness, and care for those who are his own. This is the reality that the world tries to hide. Yes, God does deal with the sin in the lives of those who belong to him. However, rather than harsh judgment and condemnation, he puts forth those characteristics of his eternal essence. Isaiah 44, 21 through 23. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory. All of creation rejoices with the goodness of the Lord on display as he works his salvation and redemption in the course of the walk of his people. This is not a condemnation of the people, but rather of the sin, yes, and absolutely. However, because of his holiness and his righteousness, God deals with sin in a way that brings forth the full measure of his forgiveness and his work of reconciliation and cleansing. The prophet Micah details this reality for us in Micah 7, 18 through 20. We as the people whom God has chosen unto himself need to have the eyes of our understanding truly and fully enlightened as to the measure of the love of God that is meted out unto such as we are in this world. Rather than being dictated to and fenced in with rules and regulations that would bind us and hinder our enjoyment of this life, we see the truth. We are set free in Christ Jesus. Our entire essence is now flooded with the peace and the joy and the celebration of the goodness of God to save such as us. Who but the Lord God Almighty would so love us and so tenderly hold us in the shelter of his hand? Micah 7, 18 through 20. Who is a God like thee who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which thou didst swear to our forefathers from days of old. This is the true picture of God, our heavenly Father, who loves us to the ultimate point of sending his only begotten Son to die for our sins and trespasses. He paid the price himself for all the sins of our lifetime, for all those who would believe and receive him as Savior and Lord. This is the reality that the power of this age tries so desperately to camouflage with its lies and deceit and malice, but to no avail. Jesus paid the price to set us free from the immense bondage of sin and shame. The Holy Spirit now indwells us to work to cleanse from within every spot and every stain and rent of that old nature. It is all the mighty and miraculous work of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the end that we would bring all praise and honor and reverence and glory to His name. Jesus, while on earth, as recorded in Luke 15, 20 and 21, told the parable of this love of God manifested through the teaching of what we call the prodigal son. We see ourselves in that lesson as the one who needed to return home and was forsaken. Maybe we see ourselves as the older brother, filled with anger and disgust at the actions of the younger brother and that forgiveness of the father. However we put ourselves into that story, the focal reality needs to be centered on the Father, the loving, forgiving Father who ran to meet His Son. He never gave up. He never forgot. He never forsook, but always kept that heart of restoration open for the Son that was lost. That Father, filled with compassion, kept that steady vigil to watch for His Son. And when He saw Him, He then ran and gathered His Son in His arms. He restored that place of fellowship within the home that had been previously forsaken by that youth. This is only possible by the work of that tremendous compassion of God poured out upon all through the heart of God's great love. Luke 15, 20 and 21. And He got up and came to His father. But while He was still a long way off, His father saw and felt compassion for Him and ran and embraced Him and kissed Him. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called Your son. Inherent in this parable is the truth of our great restoration as the very children of God. Just as the son returned home to the father after having tasted of the vileness and the emptiness of this age, so are we in terms of our seeking out the pleasures of our sinful nature. That is up to the point that we find ourselves wallowing in the mire and the filth of this world, which never satisfies. It is only filled with lies and sewage and emptiness and destruction. At that point, we turn our hearts back to God with the hope that there might be some region as we serve Him for whatever meager portion He might allot to us. The entire focus is still on what we can get and how our penitent attitude would serve to allow us some relief from our misery and our shame and our suffering. But in the immense grandeur of the love of God, we are fully enveloped with His love and His mercy and His grace, far beyond anything we could ever have hoped for or expected. We come back to God for whatever small scraps we can get, and yet He lavishes us with the full treasury of heaven. This is to such a point that our hearts and minds become changed to the focus of His awesome character and essence and love that we see now only so dim, yet so all-encompassing in our lives. Jesus, in this parable, detailed the heart of God the Father and who God is in the every working reality of His so great love. This is the truest depiction of the reality of Jehovah as set so opposite to the disparaging deception of this age. In God, there is restoration and compassion and empathy and redemption from all the bondage and filth of this world. That is why we can come to Him, even after our most terrible sinful binges, and seek Him to clean us up and to restore us as we confess our sin and we seek to forsake that sin, asking His forgiveness with truly remorseful hearts and minds. The reality of the full measure of God's forgiveness of sin was detailed in the truth that our turning completely away from the lies of this age are centered in the salvation that God has freely offered. His redemption and the cleansing that is part of that redemption is open to any who will but believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, the promised Christ and Messiah. The Apostle Peter detailed this as recounted in Acts 2:36-39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself. The truth is that it is absolutely all the work and the power of God in action as He manifests His call in the hearts of those who will respond to Him. God's omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence sets forth the magnificent miracle of salvation in the gift of the Holy Spirit in those who are His own in Jesus. The Apostle Paul in Acts 13:32-39 ties it all back to what the Lord proclaimed in His Word as spoken in the Psalms. The lineage of David is fulfilled in Jesus as the heart of God fully envelops all who will but respond to His call and forgiveness of sins and desire for His eternal life. Acts 13:32-39. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children in that He raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten Thee. And as for the fact that He raised Him up from the dead, no more to return to decay, He has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, He also says in another psalm, Thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. This chorus of the great and manifested heart of God unto forgiveness of sin and release to its bondage and death is as well declared by the Apostle John in 1 John 1, 5-10. There is the unmistakable reality that we are by nature sinners and in utter need of redemption. Jehovah met that need through the entire salvation reality of the death and the resurrection of the only begotten Son. 1 John 1, 5-10. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There is the utmost necessity to confess our sins, which means acknowledging the fact that we need God to deliver us from our slavery to that sinful nature of our birth. We cannot do it by ourselves. There is no way to deal with that corrupt essence without the direct intervention of God to bring us to the free gift of his working power in making us part of his very own family in Jesus Christ. Then the apostle details the truth that the Lord God Almighty has provided the only means of cleansing us from our sin and the redemption for us that is in place in Jesus Christ. In 1 John 2:1-2, the apostle encourages us with the fact that it is all done in and through the only begotten of the Father. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. The final passage of this consideration is Revelation 1:4-6. We are so blessed with the presentation of exactly who God is in the reality of his great and awesome love to those who are chosen by him. He blesses his children with the knowledge of some of the magnificence and the splendor and the glory that God has invested into those who call upon his name. He has released us from all the horrid imprisonment of our sinful nature and made us a new creation in Christ, priests of the Lord in the entirety of His kingdom. Revelation 1, 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it, and amen.